Morning, church. How are we doing? Oh, what an amazing time of worship. Let's thank the team for leading us in that. Man, it's so good to be together. Welcome. Thank you for spending some time with us here on a beautiful day. You could be outside, but no place better to be than the house of the Lord, whether you're here in person or you're joining us online. I love this theme of prayer, in case you can't tell. And I get to speak on adoration today. And this preparation for this has taught me and invited me into a more prayerful life, a depth of understanding, as much as probably any preparation for a message that I have done. So, are you ready to get into it?
Yeah.
Good. Awesome. All right. So, why pray? Why pray? Well, prayer is actually a pretty normal human position when we're in big trouble. Christian, non-Christian alike, all of us almost have uttered, "God help me." And whatever you mean by that, there is some imprint of the Creator, because we are created in God's image. We're not all His children, because that only happens through salvation through Jesus. But there is some part of that. And so prayer, especially in the life of a believer, it aligns us to the heart of God. It helps us, as Ian so well put, lean not on our own understanding, but to see things, to think things that He thinks, to acknowledge His sovereignty, to submit to His will, and to be, ultimately, what are we doing? Are we changing God? No, as the Honourable Reverend Paul Downey said last week, it transforms us. It changes us. So let me pray. Lord, by Your Spirit, by Your word, by Your presence, transform us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Hey, so prayer changes us. So the expression of adoration changes us. And I am going to talk today about the fact that prayer sits within something bigger. There are great things that we're invited to do as we interact with God, and prayer is one of them. It is so important, but it sits within something bigger. When we don't lean on our own understanding, there can be some profound takeaways. And so I want to share one. A month from now, a year ago, in March, my wife and I sat in this room together thinking that medically there was a good chance she had cancer. Hardest journey I've ever been on. I shared a little bit with church, and praise God it wasn't, before anybody panics. But at the same time, we were putting our dog down because he had cancer. It was pretty horrible. We're in the midst of a pandemic. Now, the profound takeaway, my memory, I'm not going to forget that season, and we learned a lot. But what's a profound takeaway was the moment in which we chose to, because it is a choice, to sit here with one guitar to sing together. Yes, we love to sing, but it's not isolated to those who can sing, is it?
Amen.
I mean, God bless the fact that together we sound real good, regardless of how any one person may or may not sound. You're allowed to laugh, it's okay. We're not laughing at anyone in particular. We just know that singing is not everybody's gifting, and that's okay. There's amazing unity and strength in difference. Whatever you, there's a bit of a, have I put on weight? It's like a, it's a bit of a flex. And so the profound takeaway was, what happened to us? We were transformed in the midst of that horrible time by adoration and praise and prayer. Did the problem go away? Well, eventually God moved in that, but it changed us dramatically. The storm was still there, but we were different. What about this season we're all in? We're in a pandemic. God willing, it will end. I mean, let's prayerfully, we're expecting that it already should have. And we want to believe to pray into that and believe for that. But it hasn't ended yet. And we can either be stuck in our worry for our safety and our health and our fear and just get stuck there. And that's what typifies this season, whatever the outcome is. Or we can ask, Lord, what are You saying to us? What maybe was I trusting in that You have invited me to surrender? These are alternate perspectives. I would say they are kingdom, heavenly perspectives that we're invited into when we're not just leaning on our own understanding. And prayer and the Word of God brings us into that. I mean, there are some things in Scripture that if we say them, but if we stop to think about it, they're like, hang on a minute. So like, you know, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So to people who don't understand or don't have ears to hear, what Jesus did on the cross is just foolish and accomplished nothing and means nothing. Sometimes we got to recognize that, because to us, what does it say? It is the very power of God. Scripture says, lose your life to save it. What? These profound truths. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Who wants to feel weak? No one. Sometimes it feels weak to go, hang on, I'm not at the hospital roaring at an oncologist to do more. I'm sitting here prayerfully adoring, but that's the almost reckless, irrational, different thing in human eyes that God is calling us to. So my message today is entitled Singers Before Soldiers. Singers Before Soldiers, week two in prayer, theme of adoration. God's love and plan looks reckless at times. But his ways are higher. Prayer is where we start as a church. It's on the wall out there. It's on our website. It's where we start. It's why we have prayer meetings. It's that kind of Abraham Lincoln quote where he's like, if I've got to go chop down a tree, I'm going to spend more hours sharpening the axe than actually chopping the tree down, because it makes a big difference. Same principle. When we believe this, we can start in prayer trusting it's the most powerful place to start. So prayer comes before action. And today, adoration comes before petition. You good? Yeah. All right, let's keep going. Hey, I invite you, grab a Bible out, grab your phone out with the Bible, take some notes. Man, I was going through this and I had to cull so many things, but I'm so excited for some of the lessons in this today. Matthew 6:9, Jesus responds to his disciples saying, teach us how to pray. And so he says, this then is how you should pray. Matthew 6:9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's like, how do I get across the depth of this? But maybe like give you a little glimpse. So in the morning, I wake up with my wife, Elise, and I say, hi, beautiful. Good morning. I love you. Before I ask her to make me breakfast. So actually what I do is then I make her breakfast, men. Valentine's Day tomorrow. It's just one day, but it's a good reminder. Do something. And then do something the next day. And the day after that, the one after that. It's good. So I'll say, good morning, beautiful. I love you. And I don't look at this thing, because that's a profound expression of love, to not look at that, but look at her first, look at God first. And then I ask her to make me breakfast. So if you knew what adoration did, you'd do it more. What did worship do to you just then? Our faith is not all feelings, but we have feelings. God gave us emotions. And I find that so often the emotions that are roiling, the thoughts that are trying to take hold in worship, get quietened, get changed. If you knew what adoration did, and I think you do, you'd do it more. So let's talk about it. Now, just a little caveat. When Jesus responds, this then is how you should pray, it's not this then is how you must pray every time. Someone gave you, actually, Paul, we were talking about, you know, the plane crashing. Like, if you're in a plane crashing, you may not be going, oh, Father, how great you are. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. I mean, if you are, amazing. And maybe if you've got an incredible prayer life, it's so habitualized for you that you would do it anyway. But most people are just going, ah, Lord, save me. We're going down. And that's okay. King David, a man after God's own heart in Psalm 13, starts with, Lord, where are you? How long are you going to keep your face from me? When will you turn back to me? When will you notice me? So this is an invitation. It's not a you must do it this way. In fact, God didn't. I mean, Jesus confronted people so strongly who, with kind of a formula, stood on the corner of a street and was like, check out how bad I can pray. Those were the people he challenged almost the most. So the prayers of a three-year-old, Lord, thank you for the crabs, which is what Liam says, our youngest. And then Austin's a little, you know, he's like, Lord, I'm so thankful for my family. And Elliot's like, you know, he loves the prayer time. He's like, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and my Beyblade, and my friends at school, and it. And whatever it is that you're doing, from the thank you to for the crabs, Lord, I am in awe of your creation, to Lord, I have a spouse, I have a family member who doesn't know Jesus or who is dying. We need a miracle. God hears all. And so when we adore, we acknowledge who God is, and it changes us. We're in the presence of our Creator, our Savior, the King of Kings, and it affects our perspective, taking our gaze from, and I know this firsthand more profoundly now than I did 2 years ago, from what's in front of us to the King, from the unrest in our hearts and in our minds to the truth and not the chaos. God is not a God of chaos, but a God of order. He invites us into clarity and wisdom. And I know the world is an absolute mess right now, and uncertainty is going to come, and probably more problems and chaos, but God is a sure foundation. Always was, is today, always will be. And so Jesus starts with our Father in heaven. What a term of endearment, term of access, incredible term, because this was what Jesus actually came to do, was bridge the gap for the children of God to God their Father, and that echoes through 2,000 years to us. So our Father in heaven, he says, hallowed, hallowed be your name. And we're just going to stop there. We'll keep going in weeks to come. The original Greek for hallowed is hagiadzo, hagiadzo. And it means to declare as holy, to mentally revere. But there's so much depth in this. It also means character. What are the character values? What are the things in God? It also means identity. Who is he? It also means destiny. What is it to come? Like, a name is powerful. And in this sense, it is calling God holy. It is saying he is worthy of praise. It is saying he is perfect. And it's actually a request, not just a term of like, Lord, you are these things, but it's actually a request to demonstrate these things visibly, practically, miraculously. Did you know that? How incredible to say, my Father in heaven is to say that through Jesus, Lord, this is who you are to me. To say, hallowed be your name is actually to say, Lord, show your sovereignty. Do a miracle. So you're already going, Lord, you don't even know what you really need him to do, and you're inviting him to do just in that name. And we join the presence of angels. Revelation 7:12 says, blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power is a lot of honor and might to our God forever and ever. And everyone said, amen. Lord, show your glory, your power to your renown. Psalm 135:13, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. I know in some cases it feels unnatural, but I hope that now you know what adoration does, you will do it more. It is not doing nothing. It's potentially doing even more than when you request. You're setting the scene for God to just be God and saying, work, Lord, I want you to. C.S. Lewis says this, in commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. I don't know if you remember a message a little while ago And I said it at the end of our prayer time there. I just said, guys, thank you for serving this morning. Enjoy. And I think sometimes we're like, we can't say that. Yes, we can. We're actually commanded, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. God is inviting us to enjoy him. And we shared some vision for the moment. Stay in God, live in him, not outside here in your own understanding. Stay soft-hearted. And I mean, if you examine yourself in light of this prayer, forgive me because I forgive others. Do you? Whew. You got a hard heart. It's impossible to forgive. And it's a hard time. There's maybe a lot to forgive in your life. I don't know. Stay soft-hearted. Stay together. This is impossible without God, obviously. But it's also impossible to enjoy God if your focus is elsewhere. It's impossible to enjoy God if your focus is elsewhere. And so adoration is an expression of love before the request. God knows we need things from him, but he wants us to value him over our things. If we're made in the image of God, don't all of us want that? I want my kids to love me more than stuff. I want my spouse to love me more than stuff. In church, don't we want to love one another more than just our serving role or our gifting that God's put in you? It's incredible, but don't we all want that? How you doing? I want that. And when we lean on our own understanding and when we focus on something else, that's next to impossible. Paul said last week in his message was, Lord, teach us how to pray. So why did Jesus start here? Why did he start with adoration? I think, you know, you spend any amount of time in like Jesus' teaching or in all of Scripture, you just know that what transforms us most is often what is the opposite of kind of our nature. And let's remember that we've been made new. So we have our old nature that is no longer with us in Christ Jesus. And we have our new nature. So we are different, but the old nature still trying to like hold on. And we still have this thing where we go, the problem is so big. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. To stop and adore God in the midst of this seems like the dumbest thing to do if we were honest about how we actually feel sometimes. And yet it transforms us the most. And I said prayer was part of something bigger. Prayer is the focus here and will be for, I don't know, 4 weeks or six. It won't be 20. But I mean, prayer is, we're never going to stop praying. Don't hear me wrong. Prayer is the focus, but it sits in something bigger, which is a life of worship. So you pray, you're talking to God, you're worshiping him. You sing to God, you're worshiping him. You serve the Lord in church, in your workplace, in your home. You're prepping a meal for your kids, whether they are 3 or they're 30 and you wish they would move out. You are honoring God and you are serving someone. But it's in a lifestyle of worship. And we're invited into that. And it's about focus. We've been forced to focus on more and more all the time. I was just thinking about this a little bit. I was talking to Pastor Prudy about it. I was like, so, you know, streaming shows is not bad. TV is not bad. Who multitasks, like online shopping or watching something? I've done that. Okay. Then there's like the next level. Who will watch something but be on social media at the same time? Who's watching one thing on Netflix whilst watching another thing on YouTube? I've done it. You've done it. Thanks for being honest. Only one in the room, you and I, hanging out. Do you realize what that is doing to us? Whether or not you can control that, you can just switch it off. and Netflix hasn't monetized your total lack of sleep, which is actually their strategy, we have become addicted to stimuli. And so focusing on God, stopping, being still and silent, which is not just stop talking, but actually sit for long enough that your thoughts slow down and you start to focus on God and you start to hear from God. And the invitation of profound prayer, and Prudy's going to speak on this next week, don't miss it, is let's be still and pray until it breaks, until the breakthrough happens. If you are totally anxious, pray until that ends. So many of us are thinking fearful and anxious thoughts, and I'm not talking here about the condition of anxiety, I'm talking about anxious thoughts and fearful thoughts. Sit there and pray through it. And don't stop. Our time is so limited so often, we're so addicted to stimuli, it's never been harder to do that. The reality is, and I think Paul said this or somebody else said it, where your focus is where you are. Where your focus is where you are. How are we all? We're quite busy. But are you present right now? Then you are intentionally here, present and focused, and where your focus is where you are. Don't buy into it. Like some of us are totally overwhelmed in busyness and need to change that or else we're going to implode. I've been there. You've probably been there. There's a deeper, greater relationship and invitation here. It's impossible to enjoy God when your focus is elsewhere. Now, singers before soldiers. You might know the story of the walls of Jericho, marching around until they fall down. Not even a need to draw a blade. I want to tell another story similar to that. So let's talk about it. We're going to read in 2 Chronicles 20. The king is Jehoshaphat. Good name. Everyone say Jehoshaphat. We've got news comes to him. If I can have a glass of water, that'd be great. Thank you. Don't worry. You're okay. The Ammonites, the Moabites, some dudes from Mount Seir. They're coming. And they're going to destroy Jehoshaphat, the kingdom. This is big. And so what happens? Well, Jehoshaphat starts and he effectively does exactly, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then an answer comes. But I want to read what he says, just a snippet from 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6. He says this, he gathers the people. He says this, Lord, the God of our ancestors, God our Father, are you not the God who is heaven? I know who you are. I'm reminding you. Thank you so much, buddy. Oh, Marco, what a gentleman. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Hallowed be your name. Come and elevate your renown. Do something miraculous. And this story deserves and has been taught on in series before. I'm skipping over it very quickly. But it's this adoration. It's like, Lord, this is who you are. But not only, Lord, I acknowledge this is who you are, but Lord, I know your power. I know what you want to do. And I know your character towards me. And this is what you're going to do. And so it says the Holy Spirit fell on Jahaziel. And his response to the people, he comes to the kingdom and to the king and the gathered people, and he says, and these are famous words, the battle is not yours, it is God's. Don't be discouraged, but stand firm. And what do they do? You know, we read these stories and we go, well, of course that's what they did. Real people, real enemies, real big problems, real, like, discrepancy in how many men they've got versus how many men we've got. We're in big trouble here. We're talking swords and blood and death and the end of a kingdom. We kind of gloss over this stuff and say, isn't the principle nice? This is a battle raging. And so this is what it says. The next day, they're coming down. They're going to meet them at a pass. Verse 20, it starts from 2 Chronicles 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, I'll continue. But you read this and go, this is a king I want to follow. This is an incredible leader who is honoring God. But you got to think at the same time about what he's doing. There's an enemy coming. All right, we're going to go here, but don't draw swords. Don't march to defend. I'm going to get some guys to sing. There's got to be someone there going, this is nuts. But this is a great leader who's going, believe. Remember who God is, what he's done, what he said yesterday, and what he is going to, by faith, do today. And so they sing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Step one. Then the Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they were finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. What? Praise and adore God. It's not defensive. It's offensive. You could take that word a lot of different ways. It'll offend those who aren't of God. It'll offend the enemy who's coming against God. And God will triumph. Involve him in your life, the good and the bad. He will be with you and he will answer you. And so in this situation, adoration changes the things before and during the battle. Can I keep going a bit? I got one more lesson I really want you to understand. I just want to speak to the person too who is going through, who has gone through something really, really significant. Sometimes we have trouble surrendering something because if we surrender the pain, the trauma, whatever it is, it'll somehow demean that thing and us. But the problem is you remain captive to it if you believe that lie. We all need help to get through things, namely from the healer of healers, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. But holding on to it is poison. And the lesson would be, fuel your faith. Don't fuel the problem. Don't fuel your fear. Fuel your faith. And often if it's extensive trauma or whatever it might be, then we need professional help as well. But let it go. Surrender it. It doesn't demean you. In fact, it releases you. So Jesus teaches us to worship and to pray. In this sense, he calls us to be both singer and soldier. But when he gives the order of this prayer, what is he saying first? Adore first. Adore first. It's the opposite of what you want to do, but it'll change you and it'll change what's happening. So he calls us to be both singer and soldier. I was thinking about what does that look like? Well, it looks like a worshiper in the full armor of God. If you look at this year ahead, it's a year in which nothing's changed in one sense. We're invited to worship God, but we need the full armor of God. We need the truth. We We want to stand in an offensive position, not just reacting, even though we do that. We want to worship in the full armor of God. So we acknowledge the battles, but we rest in the assurance by faith that the war, ultimately everlasting and forever, is won. Our future is assured. Our worry over tomorrow is needless. Today has enough going on in both challenge and opportunity. Today you will face challenge. Today you will face opportunity. Enjoy God, focus on Him, abide, live in Him. I'm going to invite the team to come up, please. We're going to close in a song. I'm going to invite you to come forward and receive prayer. If you don't know who Jesus is, we'd love to talk to you about that. If you're online, please connect with us. We'd love to talk to you. If there are things that you know have taken your focus, or you're just going, I am unable to enjoy God. Be bold, be courageous. Let's pray about it together. I have those battles. I've experienced those moments. No one is immune to that, but together we get to encourage one another. We get to battle in the prayerful realm. We get to adore God. We get to see everything change. So we talked about how adoration changes things before the battle and during the battle. But who knows that sometimes there's a battle that you've got through and then almost like another attack or more lies or hard thoughts come like right on the back of it. What's going to quiet that? Well, there's a great example in Acts 4. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. What happens before that is that they are walking through and they see a man whose name was Beautiful, who's just over 40 years old, who's been lame, sitting on the steps of the temple, the middle of that culture. So everybody sees him. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows that what just happened. They say, riches we don't have to give you, but here's what we have to give. We have a Savior to give you. And they heal him and he's walking. And then what happens? Well, they get in a heap of trouble with the religious leaders of the day. And the religious leaders say, in whose name have you done this? And they respond, Jesus Christ. And they realize that profound truth that these men had been with Jesus. They were, in essence, they were unschooled, they were unremarkable, but they were courageous and they were there as both worshipers and warriors, as singers and soldiers. And so they're trying to figure out what to do with them. And they're like, we need to quell this. And of course, that great response. We're not going to stop following God. We're not going to stop honoring Jesus. What's better, to listen to God or to listen to you? We've made our choice. We're going to do this. And so the leaders, the law leaders are furious. They're like, what do we do? And then this happens. Acts 4:21 to 22 says this. After further threats, they, the religious leaders, let them go. They could not decide how to punish them. Not and everybody was worshiping, but it says because. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. So adoration, this place that naturally is the last place we would start, changes things before the battle, changes things in the battle, changes things post the battle. What does it does? Even more profoundly, it changes us. It changes us. And the world needs a transformed people walking around. We're not naive. We're not like, there's no problems, there's no chaos, there's nothing coming against me. There's a lot coming against us. But God is bigger. And in spite of myself, because of who He is, I'm going to adore, focus on Him first. We don't fight like people who don't have faith. How you doing? We don't fight like people who don't have faith. So ask yourself, have I been fighting like someone with faith or without it? And you can ask, Lord, I need wisdom. Ask for it. Lord, I need greater faith. Ask for it. Lord, I need discipline to focus on you and not YouTube and Netflix and stuff all at the same time. I want to be transformed by you, not where the world is going and taking me. So I wonder if you'd stand, team, if you want to start playing behind me. I just want to simply pray. And I want to invite you. We're going to have a few of us, myself and Karen, one of our elders, and Paul's going to come down the front, and Ian when he's done, and members of our team when they're done. And we want to pray with you. And I invite you, be courageous. I know it's scary, but there is such breakthrough when we step out of our comfort zone. Just a few steps down here, you're going to be met with a smile. You're going to be met with ears that actually want to know what you're navigating and who have faith to take it to the Lord and believe for a miracle and transformation to happen. Amen? Church, let's pray. Lord, you are our Father. Lord, we glorify you, and by saying hallowed be your name, we ask you to do that. Show up and do the miraculous. Show up and glorify yourself, which is only okay because you're God. Lord, I thank you, but I ask that you would help us fix our focus on you. Lord, we know we can bring the prayer in the midst of the horrible, surprising situation that is just, Lord, help me. But Lord, even more transformatively, I pray that we would be a people who turn to you in prayer and say, Lord, I know you, my Father, through what Jesus has done. I know you are healer. I know you are Lord of Lords. I know in you is life. I know in you is truth, unshakable, a certain foundation, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all of your gifts and the incredible things that you bring. But Lord, I want to thank you and praise you more for who you are. You are holy and righteous. And I thank you that I've been adopted into your kingdom through Christ, Lord. And because of that spirit you've given me, I can take a few steps to receive prayer. I can start in adoration when I want to start by running in fear. Lord, we can do these things. We can forgive. We can do the things that are so the opposite of our old nature, Lord, because we are different. We are a community and family of new creations. And the prophetic vision, the better or preferable picture of the future, is to step more into that than ever before. And that means surrendering and adoring you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's sing.